Hello, lovelies. If you are a longtime listener, you may recall a certain audio that I posted very, very, very long ago, like back in the early recesses of Lupin GWA days, where I had to study for an exam for work and I read the textbook while masturbating. It went swimmingly, as you can imagine. And you know what? I'm feeling a bit nostalgic, but I don't have a textbook I need to read for work. And to be honest, who wants to do the same thing twice? Am I right? So I decided that I would find a random article on Wikipedia and we'd have a little bit of a quickie. A quickiepedia, if you will. Trust me, I am so proud of that. And so I've got Wikipedia pulled up. And I'm going to click on random article and I'll read off as much as I can and we'll see how far I get before I come. Sound like a plan? Alrighty, let's go ahead and random article. Okay, and we landed on Indian maritime history. This seems like a veritable smorgasbord of fun. So let's begin and see how many words I can mispronounce. Okay. This is the low setting? Okay. Ooh, here we go. Indian maritime history begins during the 3rd millennium BCE when inhabitants of the Indus Valley initiated maritime trading contact with Mesopotamia. The Roman historian Strabo mentions an increase in Roman trade with India following the Roman annexation of Egypt. Strabo reports that during the time where Aelius Gallus was prefect of Egypt, 26 to 24 BCE, he saw 120 ships ready to leave for India at the Red Sea port of Myos Hormos, as trade became between India and the Greco-Roman world, increased spices became the main import from India to the Western world. Bypassing silk and other commodities, Indians were present in Alexandria, while Christian and Jewish settlers from Rome continued to live in India long after the fall of the Roman Empire, which resulted in Rome's loss of the Red Sea ports, previously used to secure trade with India by the Greco-Roman world since the Ptolemaic dynasty. The Indian commercial connection with Southeast Asia proved vital to the merchants of Arabia and Persia during the 7th to 8th century. A study published in 2013 found that some 11% of Aboriginal DNA is of Indian origin and suggests these immigrants arrived about 4,000 years ago, possibly at the same time dingoes first arrived in Australia. Okay, interesting correlation. On the orders of Manuel I of Portugal, four vessels under the command of navigator Vasco da Gama rounded the Cape of Good Hope, continuing to the eastern coast of Africa to Malandi to sail across the Indian Ocean to Calicut. The wealth of the Indies was now open for the Europeans to explore. That's what she said. The Portuguese Empire was the first European empire to grow from the spice trade. The National Maritime Day. The 5th of April marks the National Maritime Day of India. On this day in 1919, navigation history was created when SS Loyalty, the first ship of the Scindia Steam Navigation Company Limited, journeyed to the United Kingdom. A crucial step for India's shipping history when sea routes were controlled by the British. Prehistory. The region around the Indus River began to show visible increase in both length and frequency of maritime voyages by 3000 BCE. optimum conditions for viable long-distance voyages existed in the region by 2900 BCE. Mesopotamian inscriptions indicated that Indian traders from the Indus Valley carrying copper, hardwoods, ivory, pearls, camel, carnelian, and gold were active in Mesopotamia during the reign of Sargon of Akkad, circa 2300 BCE. Goshen's Stearns write on the Indus Valley's pre-modern maritime travel. Evidence exists that harpens were bulk shipping timber and special woods to summer on ships and luxury items such as lapis lazuli. The trade in lapis lazuli was carried out from northern Afghanistan over eastern Iran to Sumer, but during the mature harpen period and Indus colony was established at Shorchikai in Central Asia near the Badakhshan mines, and the lapis stones were brought overland to Lothal in Gujarat and shipped to Oman, Bahrain, and Mesopotamia. Archaeological research at sites in Mesopotamia, Bahrain, and Oman has led to the recovery of artifacts traceable to the Indus Valley civilization, confirming the information on the inscriptions. Among the most important of these objects are stamp seals carved in soapstone, stone weights, and colorful carnelian beads. Most of the trade between Mesopotamia and the Indus Valley was indirect. Shippers from both regions converged in the Persian Gulf ports, especially on the island of Bahrain, known as Dilmun to the Sumerians, whereas small Indus-style artifacts have been recovered at locations of Bahrain and further to the coast to the Arabian Peninsula and Oman. Stamped seals produced in Bahrain have been found at sites in Mesopotamia and the Indus Valley, strengthening the likelihood that the island may have acted as a redistribution point for goods coming to Mesopotamia and the Indus area. There are hints from the digs that were a major Sumerian city-state on the Euphrates that some Indus Valley merchants and artisans, beadmakers, may have established communities in Mesopotamia. The world's first dock at Lothal, 2400 BCE, was located away from the main current to avoid deposition of silt. Modern oceanographers have observed that Arapans must have possessed great knowledge relating to tides in order to build the dock. Such a dock on the ever-shifting course of the Sapor Mahdi, as well as exemplary hydrography and maritime engineering. This was the earliest known dock found in the world, equipped to berth and service ships. Oh, it is speculated that Lothal engineers studied the tidal movements and their effects on brick-built structures, since the walls are of kin-built bricks. Kin-burnt-bick bricks. This knowledge also enabled them to select Lothal's location in the first place. It's the Gulf of Gumbat. Has the highest tidal amplitude, and ships can be sluiced through flow tides in the river estuary. Engineers built a trapezoidal structure with north-south arms of average 21.8 meters, 71.5 feet, and east-west arms of 37 meters, 121 feet. Excavations at Gulbai Susan in Oshita, Odisha have shown a Neolithic culture dating as early the SCA 2300 BC, followed by a Chalcolithic Copper Age culture and an Iron Age culture starting around 900 BC. Tools found at this site indicate boat building, perhaps for coastal trade. Fish bones, fishing hooks, barbed spears, and harpoons show that fishing was an important part of the economy. Some artifacts of the Chalcolithic period are similar to artifacts found in Vietnam, indicating possible contact with Indochina at a very early period. Early kingdoms. Indian cartography indicates the pole star and other constellations of use in navigational charts. These charts may have been in use with the beginning of the Common Era for purposes of navigation. Detailed maps of considerable length describing the locations of settlements, seashores, rivers, and mountains were also made. The pair of plus mirrors, or three, mentions a time when sea trade between India and Egypt did not involve direct sailings. The cargo under these situations was shipped to Aden. Eudaimon Arabia was called fortunate, being once a city when, because ships neither came from India to Egypt, nor did those from Egypt dare to go further, but only came as far as this place and received cargoes from both, just as Alexandria received goods bought from the outside and from Egypt. It should be mentioned here that Tamil Pandya embassies were received by Augustus Caesar. In Roman histories, historians mentioned a total of 4 embassies from the Tamil country. Pliny famously mentions the expenditure of 1 million sesterce every year on goods such as pepper, fine cloth, and gems from the southern coasts of India. He also mentions 10,000 horses shipped to this region each year. Tamil and southern Sanskrit name inscriptions have been found in Luxor in Egypt. In turn, Tamil literature from the classical period mentions foreign ships arriving for trade and paying in gold for products. The first clear mention of a navy occurs in the mythological epic Mahabharata. Historically, however, the first attested attempt to organize a navy in India, as described in Megasthenes, circa 350 to 320 to 290 BCE, is attributed to Chandragupta Maurya reign, 322 to 298 BCE, and Mauryan Empire, 322 to 185 BCE. Navy continued till the times of Emperor Ashoka. Reign 273 to 32 BCE, who used this to send massive diplomatic missions to Greece, Syria, Egypt, Cyrene, Macedonia, and Epirus. Following nomadic interference in Siberia, one of the sources for India's bullion, India diverted its attention to the Malay Peninsula, which became its new source for gold and was soon exposed to the world via a series of maritime trade routes. The period under the Mauryan Empire was also witnessed to various other regions of the world engaged increasing in the Indian Ocean maritime voyages. According to the historian Strabo, the Roman trade with India initiated by Exodus of Cyzicus in 230 BCE kept increasing. Indian ships sailed to Egypt as the thriving maritime routes of southern Asia were not in control of a single power. In India, the ports of Barbicam, modern Karachi, Baragaza, Mirzi's Quarry, Vietnam, and Archimedes on the southern tip of India were the main centers of this Well, there we go. I hope you enjoyed. Wikipedia with me and the Indian maritime history. Oh my goodness.